Today we face a global pandemic, an upcoming election that many are acknowledging has a lot at stake, and a movement for Black lives and against police brutality. With this in mind, whether with family, friends, colleagues, or strangers on social media, important conversations are being had about these pressing issues. However, this also comes with the challenge of having a constructive and open dialogue without compromising these relationships based on political disagreements. I spoke with UCSB Professor Tanya Israel and asked about what it takes to have a healthy conversation about today's world. Can you introduce yourself and what kind of work or research you specialize in at UCSB?
Absolutely. My name's Tanya Israel. I'm a professor in the Department of Counseling, Clinical, and School Psychology. Most of my research is on interventions to support LGBT individuals and communities, but I've recently written a book about how to have dialogue across political lines, so that's an area that my scholarship has ventured into now.
Can you give a brief rundown of what your book, Beyond Your Bubble, is about?
Sure. So a little bit of background. After the 2016 election, it was pretty clear that our country was divided. But not only that, those divisions were really affecting us. They were affecting our relationships with family members, with people in our community, with coworkers. And there's evidence also that it's been affecting our health, that our stress has actually increased due to both the political divisiveness. And I'm a psychologist, and I like to try to do something to help people. And so I started to put together some resources to try to help people to navigate these difficult conversations. So I started with something that I sort of optimistically call the flowchart that will resolve all political conflict in our country. So that was a way to try to help people sort of think through these things. And spoiler alert, it did not actually resolve all political conflict in our country. But from there, I developed a skills-based workshop to try to help people to develop some of the skills that they would need. And then that also seemed like, you know, it could use some additional resources. So that's why I wrote the book. So the book really comes out of all of that. But it is a skills-based and evidence-based kind of book that's also very accessible. So the idea of it is that it can help people to build the skills that they need to both develop the confidence to be able to have these conversations, and also to have more effective conversations across the political divide.
How can you have a constructive conversation about politics with family or friends that have different political opinions or ideals without compromising your relationship with those people?
That's such a great question. And when I ask people what their motivations are for wanting to have dialogue, the number one that I see is that there's somebody in my life who I want to maintain a relationship with, but we have really different political views. And, you know, there are other reasons too. Some people say, I just cannot understand how people could think that way or vote that way. And some people, you know, they want to bridge the divide either to find common ground or to convince other people to see things the way that they do. So those are the most common things. But that question you're asking then about how do you do that without compromising the relationship? So the relationship is hugely important. And the skills that I really focus on in the book, the first one and probably most important is listening. And it turns out that listening is crucial to any of those motivations that somebody might have. If they want to maintain the relationship, if they want to try to understand somebody, even if you want to try to persuade somebody, you really have to know where they're coming from first. So listening is key. And beyond that, things like how do we manage our emotions? You know, our buttons get pushed when we're having these conversations. So how do we actually manage our emotions so that we can stay in it, even when we're starting to feel kind of amped up about it?
Right. Debates and conversations about politics and the upcoming election, they just get so heated. Yes. Why do you think we tend to cling on to our ideals or opinions so strongly and with like so much resolution that we tend to disregard another person's reasoning or even lack of?
So I really enjoyed delving into the social psych literature about our perceptions of other people. And we have these cognitive biases, these ways that we understand other people and ourselves that actually distort, well, really both. They distort our other people and ourselves, but we tend to believe that our way of seeing things is based on strong evidence, that we are making logical, rational, and caring choices. But people who disagree with us then must be doing the opposite thing. They must be making illogical, emotionally driven choices that are, not not caring, not compassionate about other people. And it turns out that we all believe that, no matter what side we're on. We think that we are the exception to, everybody else is making bad choices, but we've got it right. And this is really something that we see playing out so much in these, not just when people are having conversations with somebody who's got a different view, but I hear it so much in people talking about people who have a different perspective. And then, if we're talking to people who agree with us, we all just reinforce each other on that, and say, oh yeah, that's right. They just don't care. I hear that so much. Well, the other side, they just don't care. And of course, everybody cares. Everybody cares about certain things, but we're not really understanding that about other people. So I think that that's part of it, is just these cognitive distortions that we have. And one of the things that was most helpful to me about reading about that and trying to write it in such a way that people could understand it was it really helped me to correct some of those distortions just by looking at the literature about how we tend to overestimate that distance between ourselves and somebody else's views. Just knowing that can really help to correct that for ourselves.
What role does social media play in all of this?
Oh, such a big role. I think that social media is part of the reason that we are having this challenge right now. Before social media, and I remember the days before social media, you may not, but it was possible to sort of have one kind of conversation with one person and a different kind of conversation with another person. And that sort of makes sense when we're thinking about these things, because you might want to talk with somebody who agrees with you in certain ways. You might be able to use certain sort of shorthand and slogans and support each other, and you can vent to those people. And that's really great. You need that support. But if you're talking to somebody who's got a really different viewpoint than yours, you might not want to do those same things. You might need to explain a little bit more where you're coming from. You can't just use the shorthand and the slogans, like your views don't necessarily fit on a bumper sticker. So you might be able to say more about that to help them understand. You also might want to ask more questions so you know where they come from. And you might not want to vent and get, your emotions amped up, because that's going to make it harder for them to hear you. So different kinds of conversation. Now, when we're on social media, we're just having one kind of conversation and we're just expressing one view outward, and it's not really an exchange back and forth. So people are really not able to be flexible in that way of communicating that you can outside of social media. And I'm going to tell you one more thing about social media, because there was this really interesting study that was done with Twitter where they tweeted conservative tweets to Democrats, and they tweeted liberal tweets to Republicans. So, the opposite of what somebody, believes. And we all like to think that if somebody puts a view out there and we comment on it with, a completely different perspective, we're going to post that article or that statistic or, that thing that's going to change their mind because it's in contrast to what they're putting out there. It turns out that when you do that in this study on Twitter, not only did it not bring people closer together in their views, it actually drove them farther apart. So with that thing that we're doing on social media of responding to people and trying to convince them by what we're posting in their comments, not only are we probably not convincing them, we might be getting them even more firmly into their views and farther from us.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, myself, I tend to come into the conversation wanting to persuade or convince or change another person's point of view or reasoning. So what is the healthiest way to approach a political conversation and its outcome?
So people ask me sometimes, like, what can I say then on social media that's going to make a difference? And I think that the most effective comment you can make on somebody's post is, hey, can we find a time to talk about this? And to actually have that conversation face to face instead of Facebook to Facebook. And even if it's FaceTime to FaceTime, that's still much better than trying to do it, you know, in the shorthand on social media. But what do you do when you're actually in that conversation? I mean, the first thing you do is you really do try to listen to understand rather than listening to try to, you know, argue against or share your view. You might have a chance to do that, but the first thing that you want to do is to listen and really try to understand. There was a really interesting study that looked at, all right, is there something that we can do that's going to shift people's views? And so what they did is they put out a bunch of policy ideas to people, and they had them say how much they agree with that view, like where they are. They're, you know, from strongly agree to strongly disagree. And also how much they knew about that issue. So people first did their ratings on that. And then they said, okay, well, we'd like for you to explain how this policy works. It's what they call a mechanistic explanation, like go through step by step, how does gun control actually work? You know, how does healthcare actually work? And after somebody did that, then they had them do those same ratings that they did at the beginning. And it turns out that people who were more extreme became less extreme. And people also estimated their understanding much less than before they started. So one of the things that I always suggest is if you really want to change somebody's mind, just ask them more questions about, you know, about that policy or about, you know, they say, oh, well, this is what I think we should do. Oh, tell me about how that works. And it may not drastically shift somebody's view, but it may make them less extreme in a view. And it also may make them sort of it may make them have a more accurate understanding of their own knowledge of it. Now, it might do the same thing for you. Then if you need to do that, that you might actually find that if you're trying to explain it, that you might not even understand it as well as you thought you did. Policies are very complex. And you might also not, you know, feel the fervor for it that you had. And that can be a way of actually helping to bring us a little closer together to be able to understand each other's views and maybe actually find common ground.
Why is it important to look beyond our bubble, especially given today's sort of socio-political climate and everything that's going on?
Yeah, we're in really challenging times right now. We have some issues that are, you know, literally life and death in terms of, you know, are we wearing masks, in terms of Black Lives Matter, you know, that there's, in terms of immigration, that we have really important issues that we are in such conflict about. So why is that important? Well, it's important because people are feeling distressed about it. That's really why I come to it. I don't think it's a mandate that everybody needs to have these conversations. Not everybody wants to have these conversations, and not everybody's really in a position to, in terms of just their own feeling of well-being around it and safety. And so what I hear, though, is that some people want to or are feeling distressed because they don't feel like they can. So I think that learning how to do this effectively is going to help to reduce people's distress because it will make them feel more confident that they can have these conversations, whether or not they do. And if they do, it'll help them to do it more effectively so they can meet whatever their goals are, whether it's about maintaining a relationship or finding common ground or just understanding where somebody else is coming from. And even if somebody doesn't care about any of that, you know, just the reduction in stress, I think, can help our individual and collective well-being. And I also feel like our democracy needs for us to be able to have civil discourse about these issues. The more divided we are, the more vulnerable we are, both to outside influences outside of this country, but also to strong influences within this country. And I think that we will be stronger as a society if we can actually have these conversations and tolerate some of the diversity. You know, we talk about diversity sometimes in terms of identities and experiences, but diversity of thought as well.
All right, so that was my last question, but is there anything else you would like to add?
I just want to say how appreciative I am. You know, at UCSB, I feel like we have a wonderful community of people who are really interested in our society and making our society a better place. I don't know that we always come at it from a trying to understand everybody's views, but I think to the extent that we can, it's a stronger campus, it's a stronger community, and it will help us all to be better when we go out there in the world, in our families and our communities and our workplaces.
Thank you to Tanya Israel for sharing advice on how we can have healthier conversations about today's world. More information on Professor Israel's work and an outlet for sharing any experiences you may have had while talking politics with family or friends can be found at tanyaisrael.com. With KCSB News, I'm Aubrey Valerio.